Find your inspiration, do that, never stop until the day you die.
Hi, I'm Ted Balliker with Reason TV, and today I'll be sitting down with filmmaker Roger Nygaard. Nygaard has all kinds of directing and editing credits under his belt, and he's the director of the new documentary, The Nature of Existence. Tell me in a nutshell what your documentary is about.
Well, it's all the answers to all the mysteries of human existence in one movie. I literally traveled the world. I went to five continents, talked to 170 people, from experts to my neighbor's daughter, and the entire spectrum in between.
What are some of the favorite questions?
Well, I started with the big one, which is, why do we exist? That's the main one, the number one question. And it's the age-old existentialist question. But that opens up the door to a lot more questions, like, well, as long as we are here, what do we do about it? What is our purpose? And how do we better get along? How can we better coexist with each other? A lot of people go in a religious direction when you ask them why do we exist. They talk about to glorify God, to know God, to be with God, etc. And so that begs the question, what is or who is God? Define God for me. And you find a lot of different definitions from people. I think Gandhi said there are as many religions on the planet as there are people.
Were there any interesting patterns that you saw across some of the big questions?
Well, if you add up the number of religions currently practiced on the planet, there's over 1,000. So that number tells you something right there.
What's the smallest religion?
There are some really offbeat ones, like the Raelians, who believe in that there's an alien race that brought us here, which is not so different from the Scientologists. There's one that I went to. I went to a celebration called Amartithi, which is where they're called Baba lovers because they follow Meher Baba. And Meher Baba means compassionate father. He's a guru, and he's got about maybe, it's hard to gauge, but maybe 50,000 followers.
You directed Trekkies as well, which is celebrated for its quirky characters. Who are the new Nygaard characters that are coming out this time?
Well, that's the thing is, the topic is less important in a good documentary than finding interesting people to talk about the topic. There's a guru named Aha, for instance, who you've probably never seen anything like him. He's the type of person people go to and ask questions, and he answers questions. Looks a little bit like Harry Knowles of Ain't It Cool News, you know, so he's got a unique look. But you wouldn't necessarily expect him to be, you know, Mr. Wisdom. But when you listen to what he says is really interesting and usually pretty down to earth.
So you must be a much wiser man now than you were at the beginning of this. You mentioned advice. What kind of pearls of wisdom can you toss our way?
It changed me dramatically, actually. I mean, imagine talking to 170 people, many of which were psychologists, spending 2 hours with a psychologist, asking him the toughest questions that are keeping you up at night, all for free. We all search for happiness. That's one thing people say. I just want to be happy. I want to find happiness. I want to find somebody that'll make me happy. Well, you can't search for happiness. It's one thing I learned. Happiness, and I'm quoting Julia Sweeney now, this is what she said in the movie, happiness is a byproduct of having a purpose. In order to get happiness, you need to have a reason for being. Now, how do you find your purpose? How do you find your reason for being? Well, a lot of people feel like when I've talked to them, they're searching for some big complex answer that explains everything. But the answer, what I found, is so simple, that's why it's hard to see. And one thing Aha said in one of his seminars, a woman stood up and said, I don't know where to find my purpose. I don't know where to look. And he said, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but your purpose is that person right next to you on your left. And that person on your right, that's your purpose. We're social creatures. And we find our purpose and thus our happiness in our social interactions with friends and family.
Did you find that some types of people tended to be happier than others?
I interviewed a guy at Harvard. His name is Daniel Gilbert. He's a professor of psychology and he wrote a book called Stumbling on Happiness. And he studied happiness for years. And one of the questions that came up, he told me, is who's happier in life? And what the studies showed was that we're all pretty equally happy, on average. No matter who, if you compare it to someone who is disabled versus someone who's not, people have an equal capacity for happiness.
Did you find more or less happiness religious people versus atheists?
Yes, there have been studies done on that. And what they have found is that religious people tend to be a little bit happier than non-religious people. But that also has to do with having a social group that you're a part of. That's what brings you happiness, is having a group of people that you're a part of who want to know about you, listen to you, talk to you, care about what you're doing.
And you spoke with the prominent atheist Richard Dawkins. What did he have to say?
Richard Dawkins is one of the best interviews you can do, because everything he says is quotable, because he's definitive. He will tell you what he thinks unequivocally, and he's the Pope of atheists.
It's been roughly a decade since Trekkies. How has the film market changed since then?
The indie film market is continually changing, because now it's what's gotten much worse and much better in different ways. It's much harder to release a film through the traditional methods, because most of the distribution companies have been bought up by corporations, and so they're all swinging for the fence with blockbusters. They're much less interested in a nice, clean single. There's a few companies left that are still doing that, and new ones come and go, but it's not like it used to be. However, you can now put your movie on YouTube and so many other internet avenues that you can bypass those traditional methods of release. Short films now, there are people making a lot of money on the internet making short films and putting it on YouTube or whatever, and making money off the advertising. That's their job.
And everybody says, you know, well, you've got to harness that new media stuff. And it sounds like just a platitude. But you seem to have done some pretty creative things in that regard that I assume are actually working. Can you talk about that and how our viewers can see what you've done?
Well, part of releasing a film is you've got to put little pieces out there, get people interested, get them a little bit pregnant in wanting to see your film. So we've been putting out webisodes, outtakes, excerpts, special pieces of footage that I found in the raw footage, and publishing those on the internet and on our website, which is thenatureofexistence.com.
What's the status of your film now? Where can people see it? It's done the festival circuit already.
Yeah, we did a year of film festivals, won some awards, and now it's being released theatrically in movie theaters. Our website will list all of the show times and locations, and then home video, of course. Home video it's still evolving, but what we're planning to do with home video is release the documentary on DVD, as well as we're creating a 7-disc companion set of all these topics in much greater depth and detail for those who really want to probe more deeply on the nature of existence. Where is there an afterlife? Where is it located? What is the soul? What is sin? And sexuality, you know, is it a sin to masturbate? Is homosexuality a choice, or is it innate? And people love the sex topics, of course. I mean, there's a whole disc on that. And morality, you know, what is morality? Are we born altruistic, or is it a choice, or is it something we learn? So all these questions will be probed much more deeply on those discs.
You must have had some really gnarly existential crisis to want to do this in the first place. How has it changed you? Does it change your day-to-day life?
Teachers love this part, because it all comes back to learning. Keep challenging yourself your whole life. Retirement is stupid. Why would anyone want to retire? I mean, I understand not wanting to work at a job you hate, but if you're spending your life doing something you like, why would you ever want to stop doing that? Because once you leave the stage, you know, once the journey's over, you're done. You know, once you stop learning, you start dying. So you need to keep challenging yourself your whole life, finding things to do that interest you. If you're doing something that doesn't inspire you, you will burn out. So you need to be inspired in life. So what inspires you? That's what you should be doing. And ideally, if you can combine that with your job, then you're going to find much greater happiness in everyday, you know, day-to-day living. So find your inspiration, do that, never stop until the day you die.